Hi, this is Sarah O'Connell Clater.
And this is Jonah Treeboiser.
And welcome to another edition of Radio Rotary, sponsored by your community and local Rotarians, your friends dedicated to service.
Each week, we chat with your neighbors about great things happening in your community and around the world, people sharing ways to improve your life.
And Jonah, today we are chatting with a fellow Rotarian. He's from California. Yay! Through the magic of Zoom, we are able to connect with Bill Tobin. And we're talking about ShelterBox, which is a program that Rotary's involved with that offers shelter and other useful items in times of major disasters, when people are displaced from their homes due to all kinds of weather, mostly it's happened, or even in war-stricken areas. So Bill Tobin, welcome to the airwaves of Radio Rotary on the other side of the country. We're delighted to have you.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for having me here today.
So, Bill, tell us, what is a shelter box?
Well, Shelter Box was started by a Rotary Club. It was an international service project where they wanted to help families after disasters somewhere in the world. So the club was located as Helston Lizard Rotary Club. That's a mouthful.
Oh, boy.
That's in Cornwall, England, way down in the southwest. Can't go much more south or west in England without getting wet. And they're not a huge club, so they just wanted to help 8 to 10 families each year. Just a simple, small service project to provide tented shelter, some tools, cooking sets, blankets, water purification tablets, just those types of items that you often don't think about when a disaster strikes. The medicine groups come in, the Doctors Without Borders, the food groups come in. But basic shelter is often overlooked. So their initial plan was to help 8 to 10 families. They got enough funding from their local Rotary clubs to help over 143 families. And that was in the year 2000. And the organization hasn't stopped since.
Well, as Rotarians, we've watched this program grow and grow and grow. And you did mention that, ShelterBox goes all over the world wherever something has happened and they need this effort is needed. So we're going to describe what a shelter box looks like and what goes in it in a little bit more detail for our listening audience. It is the size of a big Tupperware, the ones that you see at Walmart or any other store like that. And it's packed within an inch of its life. I think it weighs 100 pounds. At some point, I think that there was give or take, there was a weight limit or a weight qualification on it. And if the shelter box program gets these boxes out lots of times to very difficult areas. Sometimes they're remote or just because the infrastructure has been wiped out along with, you know, a tsunami or a hurricane, fires, that type of thing comes along. Can you describe what's in it? You did a little bit, but it's fascinating. You think of everything, and B, some of the places on the globe where ShelterBox has gone in the past several years.
Sure. So yeah, it's a 40 gallon storage box that you could pretty much find at your local big box store, or no pun intended.
Right.
And we have about 100 different aid items that we can put in a box. Some of the core aid items I mentioned, like water filtration, blankets, of course, the tent or tarps, tools, a cooking set, a solar light, a mosquito net. You know, these are some things that you don't often think about. But they really are a barrier between a healthy situation and unhealthy situation. We've done items like kids' clothing that we do in Syria, and we're currently distributing kids' clothing in Ukraine and as well as in Turkey. So whenever we see kids without warm clothes in the wintertime, we've got a route to get warm clothes on those young bodies. It's really an incredible list of things that we can distribute. But as I mentioned, those core aid items, those are the ones that you typically see in the box all the time.
Now, Rotarian Bill Tobin, that tent is no pump tent. That is a big dome tent, distinctive green color. If you ever watch on cable TV news at a disaster, you see these domed green tents. That's ShelterBox. That's Rotary in action. And that can sleep how many for how long?
Well, we have a few different tents, and they're all what we call family tents. Some are different colors. Some are very nondescript. They're built to a spec put out by the United Nations. And then, of course, our domed tents, which are kind of our iconic symbol. Those tents will sleep a family of, say, six or maybe even eight with some infants quite comfortably. We've tried to see how many people we could stuff in a tent just for just for fun, and we've had over 50 Rotarians. And we've had 100 Cub Scouts. So they're big rookie tents.
That's fabulous. Now, ShelterBox goes all over the world. And I understand that you get donated space in some aircraft to ship these out. And you also have areas where you store them just in case. Tell us a little bit about that system.
Sure. So way back when it first started, all the box packing was done by the Rotary Club in England and all in it. It quickly became much bigger a project than the club could handle. So it was still all primarily shipped out of one location, but we learned over time, you know, we're always learning. And we learned it was both more economical as well as providing the service on a more timely basis if we pre-positioned our aid around the world. So we have five locations globally where we warehouse our gear. We always want to try and be prepared to respond to a disaster and help either upwards to 3,000 to 5,000 families. So we like to have that amount of gear staged and ready to go.
Where are these locations? Can you name a few of them, or are they top secret?
No, they're not top secret. We have one in Panama, for example. That's a good location to be, where you could access pretty much all over the world from Panama. Belgium, because Belgium has a great export system to get into Africa and Southeast Asia. We have a warehouse. In fact, we have a whole operations team, full-time staff in the Philippines. So that's the country we have responded to more than anywhere else in the world. So it made great sense to set up shop internal to the country.
And I'm sure you have a website if people want more information, or if they'd like to know how they can help out with the Great ShelterBox program. What is your website?
Absolutely. Here in the U.S., it's shelterboxusa.org. If you happen to be north of the border, I know you're up in the Hudson Valley, so right. It knows how far the radio transmission goes north. It would be shelterboxcanada.org. Or if you're anywhere in the world, you could just do shelterbox.org, and that'll take you to the main U.K. website.
And folks at home, get a pencil and paper, because our great guest, Rotarian Bill Tobin, will repeat that in the next portion of the program. Miss Sarah.
Yes, I want to circle back to a little bit. We know how it was created, the genesis of the program, and some of the structuring of how you have things staged and ready to rock and roll upon need. But who gets them out there? They're actual volunteers that make this all happen. And my understanding, Bill, is you have to go through quite some training, and sometimes it's very physical. Can you talk to that, about the training program and the qualifications one would need to be a ShelterBox distributor personally?
We call them ShelterBox response teams, and they are highly trained. It takes about a year's worth of training, and no guarantees if you apply that you'll make it. In fact, less than 10% of those who do apply are accepted in the program. So that is incredible work. We also partner a lot with the local Rotary clubs. So if we're in a foreign country, there's local Rotary there. They quickly become our boots on the ground. We send out small teams. They train the trainers, who would be the local Rotarians. They know their communities best to begin with. So they're a big help to us.
And we're going to find out more about the Great ShelterBox program right after Sarah O'Connell-Clater tells us who are the local Rotary clubs that team up with Radio Rotary by being our sponsors this week.
Well, Jonah and Bill, Radio Rotary is sponsored by Salisbury Bank, Third Eye Associates, Hunt and Harvest Caterers, and by the featured Rotary Clubs of Brewster, Carmel, Goshen, Highland Hyde Park, Kingston, Liberty, Millbrook, Nanuet, Greater Newburgh, and New City, New York.
Be back with more of Radio Rotary and our terrific guest, Bill Tobin, right after these important messages, so stay tuned.
Are there wedding bells in your future? Hi, this is Rotarian Cindy Kish. Hutton Harvest is a full-service catering company covering the Hudson Valley, Connecticut, the Berkshires, New York City, and beyond. Although we specialize in wedding celebrations, we are also available for all of your special occasions. We recently opened Hutton Harvest Provisions, a place where you can purchase our handmade products, prepared meals, and desserts, as well as specialty grocery items. We are conveniently located in the Village of Millbrook at 18 Washington Avenue. Contact us today at provisions.hunt.harvest@gmail.com. That's provisions.hunt.harvest@gmail.com.
Don't let mental health stigma keep you from living your best life. This is Andrew O'Grady from MHA of Dutchess County, and there is help. Did you know that 25% of the population deal with anxiety or depression? That's a lot of people. You're not alone. If you have the flu, you would call your doctor. Let's start doing the same when it comes to your mental health. It's time to get on the path to mental wellness. Contact Mental Health America of Dutchess County at 845-473-2500. Let us help you live your best life.
You're listening to 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM. And there's more of this week's Radio Rotary Show coming up.
Hi, this is Tony Marmo from Norman Staffing, and we've been bringing together employers and job seekers since 1980. If you're an employer and have job vacancies, let Norman Staffing help fill them with permanent or temporary workers. We screen, interview, and recommend the best candidates for your company. We make the employment process easier and faster for you. Please call Norman Staffing for your employment needs at 338-9111, 338-9111, or normanstaffing.com.
Salisbury Bank is your friendly hometown bank with 14 branches throughout the tri-state area.
Salisbury Bank offers personal and business banking, mortgages, and commercial loans.
Salisbury Bank is your local community bank with local decision making and high service. Your local bank for all of your local needs.
Salisbury Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Salisbury Bank, because where you bank matters.
Hi, this is Sarah O'Connell-Clater, and I am back with this segment of this edition of Radio Rotary, joined by my wonderful co-host, Jonah Treibwasser.
That's sweet of you to say. Hello.
Well, you are wonderful. You do a lot of heavy lifting to keep us on the air here. We are using Zoom exclusively now for our interviews, but it enables us to reach out to people that are not in the immediate Hudson Valley area. And today we've been chatting with a fellow Rotarian from California. My goodness, Jonah, here we are. Bill Tobin, and he is very involved. I'm going to find out what his official title is in a sec, Bill, with ShelterBox, which is a program that offers shelter in times of disasters like hurricanes, fires, war, tsunamis, that type of thing. So Bill, first of all, tell me what your official title is, and my follow-up is, where are you right now, physically?
Well, my official title is Rotary Relations Manager for ShelterBox USA. So I kind of overlook and work with all the district governors and the district governor chains, future district governors for all the districts here in the U.S., and then fill in where we don't have volunteer help in districts where we're lacking some help and try and recruit some help in those districts. I'm physically located just outside of Sacramento in a community called El Dorado Hills, California, where I'm a proud member of the Rotary Club here since 2004. And I learned about ShelterBox from our Interact Club. So those in Rotary.
No kidding.
Interact is the high school version of Rotary. And the earthquake struck in Haiti in 2010, and they said, Mr. Tobin, what should we do? And, of course, I always point him towards a Rotary solution, so I had no clue. but I said, why don't you go online and ask Jeeves or whatever it was that year and type in Rotary and disaster relief and let me know what you come up with. And they shared ShelterBox with me a couple of hours after that. I went on the website and I was totally blown away that a Rotary Club had started this organization 10 years prior to that. And they were already on the ground distributing tents in Haiti just days after that devastating earthquake.
They really are.
I was hooked from that moment.
It's just amazingly agile and fluid. They are on the ground first responders along with that. I'm from South Louisiana, so it became near and dear to my heart after Katrina, because we all had somebody affected by Katrina in from my neck of the woods. And Rotarians are real heroes to that community because of that.
Yeah, Katrina is our largest domestic response, but we don't respond a lot in the U.S. because we have such great resources here already. We really look to areas of the world that don't have the ability to self-recover.
At Jonah?
For those who may have joined us late, Bill, describe what you have in a shelter box. The box itself looks like a big Tupperware box about the size of an old-fashioned steamer trunk. But tell us what you put in. And folks, it's amazing the amount of material they can put into one of these boxes. Go ahead, Bill.
We put a whole lot of hope in the box. That's what we put in the box. And it's in the material means of a tent, blankets, mosquito nets, water filtration, a cooking set, a solar light. So you can't imagine. Of course, we all lose power on occasion, and it's kind of a novelty at first. But if you don't have power at all after a disaster, or you simply live in a part of the world where there is no electrical power that's reliable, a solar light means life after dark. It means the kids can continue to learn how to read and do their maths after the sun goes down. The family could be safe as they venture around their community because of the solar lights. So just really well thought out items. And I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't. It was a group of Rotarians and a Rotary Club that then through the evolution of the organization is grown to having these big green boxes. And we also do these big white, like sandbags, big, large sandbags that hold all the stuff as well. So we're branching out from just the box. The box is not always easy to find globally. And it's also it's not always big enough. I mean, as you mentioned, we're really good at packing a box, but sometimes we're partnering with other aid agencies and they also bring items as well. So our shelter sack or shelter bag, we don't really have a name for it yet, but we're using those as well.
Well, what you had mentioned before is that you have basic things, but you customize depending on the area. That's what it sounds like, and the need, what is actually needed there. So you got involved in Shelter Box because you just, you know, you were moved by the mission and the ability for them to really respond immediately. So where are the boxes? How do they get distributed? Where are they kept? And who? And then my follow-up is, who does the distribution?
Well, those are good questions. We have global warehouse space that we store individual items at, and then those are palletized and sent to an area of disaster. Once our assessment is done and we kind of have an idea of what those needs are, and then when we distribute those boxes, the box packing is done with the families that are receiving it. Because what we learned over time, we used to just have one product, so to speak, and it was kind of a one size fits most mentality. But the family needs could be quite a bit different. If you're an elderly couple, or if maybe you're a young family that has four or five kids, those are two different sets of needs. So the box packing being done at the point of distribution now has allowed us to have a much greater impact and serve more people.
And Bill Tobin, give us the email again, the email address and the web. I'm sorry, the website address for Shelter Box for people who want to know more and might be able to help you out.
Sure, we'd love to have people visit our website. It's shelterboxusa.org. It's an incredible rabbit hole of information. You'll learn not only about what we do in the world, but you'll learn a lot about the world just by visiting our website.
Now, Bill Tobin, you're a Rotarian in what club?
Eldorado Hills, California, District 5180.
And when and where does it meet?
We meet Wednesday mornings, and we do hybrid, so you can join us on Zoom. Check out the website is edhrotary.org.
And Sarah wants to know when you're meeting in person.
Well, I always like to know about the food because, you know, I'm a foodie. What can I say? I want to know what the food is like. And you can join by Zoom, right, Bill? You said you could do that. You just have to remember the time change because you're in West Coast time, Pacific.
Yeah, so it's more a brunch meeting if someone in your district wants to come out and visit our club. And we have breakfast. We've had the same caterer for 10 plus years. Dave is incredible. In fact, during the pandemic when we didn't meet, We continued to pay him as if we were meeting, and he distributed food to a local homeless shelter for 6 months.
That's the Rotary way. And if you're not, if you're not in Bill Tobin's neighborhood in California, but still want to join the fun, the food, the fellowship of Rotary, go to Rotary.org, R-O-T-A-R-Y.org. Click on the club locator button, type in your hometown, find out where your local Rotary Club meets, and join us. We always can use extra hands for service. And we're going to be back with more of Bill Tobin and more information about ShelterBox right after these messages, so stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Rotarian Susan Simon of Third Eye Associates. Rotarians devote themselves to caring for others. Sometimes we forget to care for ourselves, especially when it comes to planning for our future. At Third Eye Associates, we provide fee-only financial life planning, financial transition planning, and wealth management strategies to help you integrate your life and your money. ThirdEyeAssociates.com for more information, or call us at 845-752-2216. That's 845-752-2216.
Hi, I'm Krista Hines, Executive Director of Hudson River Housing, a local nonprofit dedicated to helping communities in the Mid-Hudson Valley thrive. We believe that everyone deserves the opportunity to live in safe and affordable housing. No matter what your housing concern may be, you can count on us for assistance. Maybe you're looking to buy your first home and don't know where to start, or possibly seeking an affordable apartment to rent for you and your family. Or perhaps you found yourself in need of safe and supportive shelter with a compassionate team committed to helping you overcome the challenges of homelessness. We're here to help every step of the way. Please visit us online at HudsonRiverHousing.org or call us today at 845-454-5176. Again, that number, 845-454-5176.
You are listening to 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM. And there's more of this week's Radio Rotary Show coming up.
Hi, I'm Meg Mullins from the Mark Foundation. We raise funds from donations and from events such as our annual luncheon, bowling tournament, and memorial golf outings. We give the money to programs that champion prevention of and recovery from substance misuse. Among our projects are scholarships for therapists, transitions from community housing, and the Dutchess Overdose Awareness Memorial. Visit our website at mark-foundation.org to learn more or to make a donation.
Hello, hello. It's Sarah O'Connell Clater back with this final segment of this edition of Radio Rotary. I am joined not only by my co-host, Jonah Trebwasser, but also our producer, Kathy Krueger, is going to jump in and do this final segment because I just have to say, she has been so enthusiastic about this show. We've been chatting with a fellow Rotarian from the West Coast, Bill Tobin. Through the magic of Zoom, we're able to really reach out to people far and wide and get a lot of wonderful information that we want to share with our community, our bigger community, our global community. So Kathy is going to take over. Bill is the coordinator. You have a big title, Bill. Jump in with ShelterBox. What is it again?
Rotary Relations Manager.
For ShelterBox, which is a program that offers shelter all over the globe in places and times of disaster. So I leave it, Kathy and Jonah, and you're very, and Bill. Bill, full disclosure, is an old radio guy. I leave it all in y'all's very capable hands.
Thanks, Sarah. No, Bill, I'm going to put you on the spot. No, I'm thrilled because this is so exciting. ShelterBox, you have got this first ever adventure trek going on to Yosemite. It's exciting because it's in August. I have it. And you're going to do this 4-day adventure trek to Yosemite. And you've already talked about the fact that, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of physicality that's involved in working with these shelter boxes. I mean, number one, they're heavy. I mean, you're loading to these shelter boxes on and off planes and so forth. So there's a lot of work that has to be done, a lot of physical expertise. But then you're going to be doing this hike again, which is a lot of physical expertise. And so I'm assuming you got to be somewhat healthy to do it. And I'm putting you on the spot because I'm a nurse. So I just kind of wanted to know, a little bit about what's involved, because I'm imagining you have to be a little bit in good condition to be able to do this. This is not something like I'm in my 60s. I would have to be in a little bit good health to do this trek, I'm assuming.
Well, the Shelterbox Adventurers Trek, we've had adventurers for a few years now. These are just individual people who do crazy things with a shelter box on their back or in their trailer or whatever. We've had Brittany Woodrum climbed 58 mountain peaks in Colorado that were 14,000 feet or higher with a box on her back.
Right.
Eric Elsie paddled, solo paddled in a canoe down the entire length of the Mississippi River, all raising money while doing, you know, bucket list items, things that they really are challenging, as well as incredibly rewarding. So,
Bill Tobin, before you go on, are the boxes empty or are they filled with all the goodies, like the tent
and
all that stuff?
They are not filled with disaster aid items. Okay. They are filled with clothing and food that the people, the adventurers, are taking with them. So it's not the 100 pounds on their box, but their back. But it's still a big box in the wind on a mountain peak is not necessarily a safe way of hiking.
Well, let me ask you a question. Being an old guy, can I participate by sitting on one of the boxes and watching everybody else?
No, that's probably not advisable. The boxes are they could be sat on, but they aren't impervious to being wrecked by getting sat on either. So
especially at my size,
the Shelterbox Yosemite trek is a really a rare opportunity to be able to do a 4-day adventure in Yosemite. In the height of the season is hard.
Yeah.
You can't find reservations to do this. So we're really, really fortunate to have put this together as a fundraising means for people to do something that is incredibly challenging, but not impossible. And you asked the question about, do you have to be in good shape? Yes, these hikes are not a walk in the park,
right?
But they are within reach of people of ordinary fitness. So
it's
something you would want to practice for. The longest day is about a 12-mile hike, and that's also includes quite a bit of vertical climb and descent. The event is going to take place August 13th through the 16th. It is extremely limited by the number of people. So there are only about, I believe, 16 spots available.
Mm-hmm.
It's a once in a lifetime. You're going to go not only through the Yosemite Valley and the high country, you're going to climb North Dome, which is one of the main domes. It's got incredible views.
Right.
I've been to Yosemite many, many times in my life.
Beautiful.
I'm a Northern California native, and this is literally a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And is there a cost to the participant?
Yes, there is. But I mean, that's really one of the most amazing parts of it is the trek is just a little over $2,000. It's $2,050. That includes all the food and of course, all the fees, the camping fees, the access fees. You know, this is California. We like our fees out here. And it's also, it's Yosemite. It's a place that, you know, it does cost quite a bit of money to adventure through Yosemite. And so we've really made this affordable at $2,000. Mm-hmm. And we're asking people then to also fundraise with a target of $5,000. So it'd be $2,000 out of pocket. And if you could raise $5,000 on top of that, it's fantastic.
And this website, is for Shelterbox. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's for Shelterbox. Absolutely. Right. And it's just really an incredible opportunity that anyone who's a hiker, it would be worth every cent to take advantage.
Right.
And you can sign up and learn more about this. Start at our website, shelterboxusa.org. Along the top bar, it'll say Get Involved. Click on that, and the drop down menu, it'll say Yosemite Adventurers Trek. And you can learn more information there.
Yeah, I think Bill Tobin. It's an adventure of a lifetime. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Bill Tobin, thank you for everything you do to make the world a better place through Shelterbox. And thanks for joining us today on Radio Rotary.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
And Sarah O'Connell Clater, come on back and tell us who we have to thank for sponsoring Radio Rotary this week.
Well, Jonah, Kathy, and Bill Tobin, thank you so much for everything that you do and being on the airwaves today on Radio Rotary. And we are sponsored by Mental Health America of Dutchess County, the Mark Foundation, Mid-Hudson Addiction Recovery Community, Norman Staffing, Hudson River Housing, and by the featured Rotary Clubs of New Paltz, Patterson, Pearl River, Pleasant Valley, Poughkeepsie, Arlington, Ramapo Valley, Red Hook, Rhinebeck, Southern Ulster, Suffern, Wallkill East, Wappingers Falls, and Warwick Valley, New York. Oh, can't leave out the Rotary E-Club of District 7210.
For the entire Radio Rotary team, my co-host Sarah O'Connell Clater, our producer Kathy Kruger, and our production director Randy Turner, this is Jonah Treibwasser thanking you for tuning in and inviting you to join us again next week at this very same time for another edition of Radio Rotary. And don't forget our website, RadioRotaryNow.org.